Good morning, and welcome to yet another episode of Popping Off with Phil, the podcast. Happy Tuesday, co-host. How you doing? How your mama now? No, I'm joking. It is another crisp fall morning here in Atlanta, GA. I haven't been outside, but I can tell because of the temperature in my house. And let me tell you, you know, I've lived in Atlanta 18 years, October, November, early December still mystifies me in terms of how the weather works. And this is the first time that I'm actually in a house during these seasonal, not so seasonal changes. And so it's interesting to try to figure out the best way to, that's my calendar. Don't worry about that. Interesting trying to figure out how to heat and cool a whole three-story townhome. I didn't want to turn my heat on too fast because I know that happens. And so I think the first couple of weeks where we were experiencing some pretty cold weather, it was pretty cold in here. Like I wake up in the morning, it'd be like 66 degrees inside the house. And so I think after a week of that, I was like, you know what? Ain't nobody trying to be in their own house with a cold or pneumonia, runny stuffy nose. So let me turn on the heat to knock off the edge. And then that following week, we had days as high as 73 degrees. So it's like, well, this isn't going to work because I would rather be cold than hot. And so I made the adjustment again. So it's been the turn the heat off, turn the heat on, turn the air off, turn the air on. So I finally was like, okay, I'm turning the air on. I'm just going to adjust the temperature throughout the day if necessary. So I think I have found that my heat can't be any higher than 70. And I put the air anywhere between like 72 and 74 when I have the air on, because it's ironic that the air still comes on. And it's so weird because I was always under the impression that heat rises to the top. And sometimes upstairs is not as warm as the first level. So it's really, really interesting. But I think I'm gonna stick with this. We only have a few more days really of fall and we'll officially be in winter. And so then perhaps the weather will level off a little bit and we won't have such warm days. But who knows? Because I've been here for Christmas where I had my sunroof open because it was 70 plus degrees and not a single snowflake in sight. So we will see what the weather holds. Today I want to talk about assumptions. Emphasis on the ass of assumptions. I was having a conversation with a friend who is dating and, you know, they've expressed interest. The other person has expressed interest. And so they're at that point where, you know, it's pretty well known that we both are kind of into each other and we would like to explore getting to know each other a little bit better and perhaps pursuing a relationship where we're actually, you know, seeing each other. You know, right now they're just dating. And one of the grievances that my friend has is that they have different communication styles. And I was like, you know, let's explore this. Let's have a conversation because I'm here to help. You know, I'm the friend that friends, like parents parent, I'm a friend that friends with love and consideration. And I want, you know, what's best for my friends. I want them to be in situations that make them happy. But I'm also the friend that, you know, I politely check them and say, hey, have you looked at it from this angle? Or what have you thought about this? Or how would you have responded if you found yourself in that particular situation? So I know that this particular friend really would like to be in relationship, you know, for the purpose of compassion, you know, and companionship. Like they want to experience that. And, you know, like many of us who are single or have been single, you know, we get to that place where we're like, but I'm the shit. You know what I'm saying? Like I got my shit together. Like I've done everything right, you know. I work, I'm in school, or I have finished my schooling. I got a house, I take care of myself, I can travel, I'm pretty attractive. Like, I got all these things going on, but for whatever reason, this relationship aspect of life is really just eluding me. And so, you know, sometimes we get tired. We get tired of being in that situation. We get tired of seeing, and it's not, I don't want to say jealous, but that could be a part of it, you know, a little envy of the people around us. Not saying that they're not deserving, but just wanting to be a part of that aggregation of people who have found their person. And so, you know, in that, we have learned, some of us, not all of us, I'm still learning these things, but, you know, we have learned to really pick up on those red flags. We've learned to really separate ourselves from those things that we know that we don't like, things that we know don't serve us, things that we know wouldn't be good for us. But sometimes we're quick to draw, quick to pull out of a particular situation without having a conversation because we've made an assumption. So in our conversation about communication styles, I was like, well, what exactly does that mean? And they expressed that they had this expectation that a person is going to communicate with them regularly and often throughout the day, you know? So they're the type of person who likes a good morning, good afternoon, good evening, what did you have for lunch, how's your day going? You know, they're a person who likes that progressive conversation throughout the day, especially if it's a situation where they can't see you either physically or through some form of media connection, be it FaceTime or Google Duo or Marco Polo or whatever the fuck people are using these days, because there's so many options. So, you know, that's what they expect. And they said that, well, the person that they're dating, they're working full time and they're in school and yada, yada, this. And I was like, pause. Have you expressed that, because he said that their communication styles are different. I said, have you expressed this to him? And friend said, well, I have. I said, okay. And has there been a change? And they said, well, there has. I said, see, too often we make assumptions based on who we are, how we process information, how we react, how we respond, and we place that on other people. And we expect them to either respond or not respond based on how we think and how we feel. Listen, we're all busy. You know, we're at that busy part of life. If you are in your late 20s to early 30s, mid 30s, we busy. We're busy because we are, if we haven't finished school, we're trying to solidify that. If we haven't gotten to the right job, we are trying to create a pathway so we can get closer to it. If we haven't bought a home, we're in the process of doing it, or we are looking at reevaluating the home that we're in because our family unit is growing. We are trying to travel. We are trying to connect with people. We're trying to have experiences. We are all busy, but the age-old adage is true to form. People make time for the things that they want to make time for. But more importantly than that, you know, if there's something that we need or want from somebody, we got to open up our mouths. We have to have a conversation with them so that we don't allow our assumptions based on our own personal things and hangups to alter a relationship or the forming of a relationship. So, you know, it kind of leads me to not just in communication, but overall. I mean, how many of us have been in situations where we haven't expressed how we truly feel because we felt that it was going to be met with rejection or ridicule or judgment, only to find ourselves to eventually be in that space where we can share whatever that information was and the response be the total opposite of what we expected. Now, true, you could expect the worst and get the worst. But I find that that's not always the case. That's not always the case because, we think we know people. And we don't give people the grace and the space to grow, to learn, to evolve. And I think sometimes we look at situations not only based on how we will respond, because I think that controls a lot of how we think and we operate, but based on who we thought a person was based on who they've been. And that's not fair, because we grow and we change, and in our growth and in our evolution, the way that we once looked at things has changed. It's not the same. And so I think it's important for us to relinquish this idea that because of how we think, how we process things, that's automatically how somebody else would think and process things. And to jump off that hypothetical train, because friend was literally in a space where they were like, well, maybe they just don't like me as much as they say they do, or they're too busy. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. That's not necessarily the case. Listen, I am a phone person. My friends know this about me. I have tons of friends, some of my closest friends, who are not phone people. You know, will they pick up the phone? Yes. If they're calling me, I know it's a dire emergency. If it's a situation where we have to have a phone conversation, it's because these are thoughts that have to get out. But for the most part, they're text people, and they're people who are very adamant about, if it's textable, don't call me. You know, thankfully for a person like me, the hybrid communication of a voice memo or voice note via, especially for all my friends who have iPhones, has been a lifesaver, because I can send a voice note. And it gives me, it satisfies and satiates in me that on the phone thing, you know, it's better than a text message, but it's not quite taking up your time on the phone, because, you know, people don't want to sit and hold the phone. They got shit to do, but they'll listen to a voice memo because they can do that as they're doing these other things. They can press play while they're in the car or whatever the case is. And so it really works well for me. But, you know, we all have different ways of communicating it. You know, so I know people who hate those good morning, great morning, king text messages. It's like, nigga, what do you want? Like, get to the point. I'm not big on small talk. So if you're texting me, what is your intention? Are you texting me to see when we can get up again? Or is there something important or pressing that you need to tell me? But the whole progressive texting throughout the day, not really interested. You know, there are some people who just not big on small talk. It's like, state your purpose and let's move on from that. So, you know, friend was really in a space where, you know, they were like, I don't think they like me, or they had too much time. And I was like, you really got to back up your train. You've already said, and this is before he had revealed to me that he had communicated that this was his communication style. This is what he would like to have that progressive texting. And he said that, you know, the guy obliged and began to text more. And I was like, see, you know, you were making all these wild assumptions about maybe this won't work out, because you never had the conversation to say, hey, this is how I like to communicate. Yes, you guys probably do have different communication styles, but you don't know necessarily the root, not that you have to, you don't necessarily know the root of why that's the way they communicate. And it could be that no one's ever asked or required of that person to text or communicate in that way. And so I think that, you know, the bigger picture is that in conversation, or in life, I should say, the bigger picture is that when we make these assumptions of people based on how we feel, how we think, how we process, we can miss out on some really good things. We can miss out on some great opportunities. I know I've told this story before, but I was very, very nervous about coming out to not only my father, but my brother, my brothers. I've only actually come out to one. So if the other one's listening, surprise. But I was concerned because, you know, my father is a man of faith, and, you know, there are things that he has said throughout my life that I remember, you know, and I have friends who were like, your dad loves you. You know, you know what I'm saying? The way that you speak about your father, he doesn't sound like my dad or some other fathers that I know. I think you'll be fine. keep in mind, I wasn't expecting, I don't know what I was expecting in terms of, I just thought it was going to be a situation where it's like, I know it sounds crazy, especially for people who know my dad, like a disowning of sorts, like a banishment from life. And like I said, I know that sounds crazy. Like, it's okay to agree to disagree. I, you know, my dad has said this, and I've kind of latched onto it because I believe it's true. I am liberal, but not necessarily progressive. So it's like, there are certain things that he believes, but there are certain things that create challenges for him. And that's not what this episode is about. So I won't go into that in grave detail, but I'll just say that me coming out to him was something that I struggled with for a number of years. And then when it actually happened, it was this big sigh of relief because it wasn't anything like I had envisioned in my head, because I had envisioned catastrophe. With my youngest brother, we had had moments where, you know, I'm a Virgo. And as a Virgo, we think and we set up this entire scenario in our head. And we're like, we're going to have this conversation on this day at this particular time. This is how we're going to say it. And we write it down. And we voice memo it. And we do all of these things in preparation for this moment. And then the moment comes and it's either fight or flight. And a lot of times it's flight. because it's like, well, the conversation didn't flow in this particular direction, so it wasn't the right time. And so we had a moment where it was the right time. It didn't happen. And so there was a moment where it wasn't necessarily the right time, and it did happen. And we were literally sitting at the table, and I was like, basically like, yeah, so I'm gay. And he was like, cool. And I was like, does that bother you? And he was like, no. I was like, well, did you know? Did you have an inkling? He was like, well, yeah, you know, some of the things that you post, some of the conversations that you're having on your podcast, because I think he had listened to a couple of episodes. Like, you know, you seem to be in support of not agendas, but because I want to use that word, because I don't need that smoke. It's not an agenda, but, you know, some of the platforms, some of the ideas, you know, in support of gay marriage, in support of, you know, trans identity, those types of things. Like, you know, those are kind of tip-offs. I'm not saying that a person who posts those things and talks about those things is automatically a member of the LGBTQIA community, but hey, you know, there's a linkage. You know, you're 30 plus years old, you haven't brought a girl home, you don't talk about girls. Surprise, ta-da. So I was like, okay, cool. You know, and we never really had another real conversation about that. You know, I remember having it was just a load off. And it's because I thought that it was going to be a problem. I thought that I was going to be looked at or viewed differently. Like, oh, now I can't ask you for advice, or I can't do this or say this because you're gay. Like, you're all these things, but you're gay, you know? And it's because many of us who are queer have lived this life where, you know, before there's a confirmation of whether or not we're gay or not, we're perfect. Oh, you're upstanding and you're this and you're talented and you're attractive and you're all of these things. And then it becomes but you're gay, you know, you're all of these things, but you're gay. And that's tough because it's like, I'm a perfect candidate for all of these things. I'm a perfect candidate for this particular thing, but I'm gay. And then that just kind of stamps out and wipes out all of the good things about me. Now, we all know that anything after but is bullshit, but you have to get to a place where you begin to accept that. Like, none of that matters. Like, I can still be a great citizen. I can still be a great alumni. I can still be a great mentor. I can still be a great frat brother. None of those things have any bearing, or me being gay has any bearing on any of those things and my ability to be great in those different areas of my life. But that was my assumption. And when I think about it, you know, there are conversations that I probably could have had with my father. There are conversations that I could have had with my brother long before that moment. You know, I remember having a conversation with a cousin of mine, and she was like, I've been waiting for you to just tell me. Now, I am of the opinion you don't know until somebody tells you. And I think that we need to take that back in terms of ownership. You may assume that a person is gay, but you don't know that a person is gay or queer or however they identify until they tell you. Before then, it's just speculation. I mean, unless, of course, you've caught them in an act, then maybe that's a little bit more confirmation. But until we have a conversation, you don't know anything. But, you know, she wasn't saying that in a malicious way. She was just saying, I was hoping that you would feel open enough to feel free enough to feel comfortable enough to have that conversation with me, because I fucking love you. You know what I'm saying? And there's so much shit that we could talk about. Niggas ain't shit. You know, that's kind of how the conversation went. That's not necessarily the case. I'm just using it as an example. So to wrap all of this up in a pretty tight little bow, we do ourselves a disservice when we make assumptions about how people will think, how people will act, how people will respond. And oftentimes that puts us in a situation where we're on the short end of the stick. Because once we have the conversation, once we talk about this pressing issue that is causing us a lot of anxiety and angst, we realize on the other side that it really wasn't that big of a deal. And either somebody's going to respond and you're going to get what it is that you need, or you're not. But at least at that moment, you've given that person an opportunity to do such. If I tell you that this is my expectation in terms of communication, and then you don't rise to that particular occasion, and you don't even make an attempt to try, then we know that this isn't going to work. But we know because I expressed something to you and you acted or reacted the way that you acted or reacted. And based on that, we now know that this won't work. You know what I'm saying? But if you're walking around just assuming that people are incapable of change or bigots, only to find out that they really aren't, you know what I'm saying? You've made this assumption based on what you thought and felt, and it wasn't right. And we are back at the first beginning. And there's a better way, friend. There's a better way. And the better way is to stop making assumptions, be they asinine or not, and just speak up and say, hey, this is what's going on. This is how I feel. Can you meet me halfway? Can you do this, or whatever the case is? And oftentimes, I know, at least in my life, I've been surprised. And this is a lesson to me, because I've met up with a person a couple of times, and they're older. And I have all of these assumptions about who I think they might be because they're older. So, you know, I was in therapy and, you know, my therapist asked, is this person a viable candidate in terms of dating somebody you could see yourself with? And I was like, I don't really know, because I planned out this entire conversation in my head of the questions that I would ask, because I was trying to be a little less Virgo in terms of going into a situation and literally rapid firing all of these questions. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? How do you think about this? How do you feel about this? When is this going to happen? How did this happen? You know, yada, yada, yada. You know, what we do, Virgos, we're very methodical. And I was trying to be different and just trying to flow with the moment. But I knew that there were conversations that we needed to have, there are questions that I needed to ask, because they're important. I'm really about dating with intention now. And even though I have, you know, I've sworn off like seriously dating into the top of 2022. I think I'll be ready then. I really do need to get in practice, you know. So I've been out with this person a couple of times. We've had a great time every time. Very communicative, you know, throughout the day, throughout the week. They're the person who says, how's your day going? You know, hope you have a great week. You know, if we're having a conversation about a tennis match, it's like, I hope you have a good match. I hope you win. Yada, yada, yada. So everything's good. So we're definitely having great communication, but there's just a couple of things that I want to have a conversation about, because I want to know if we're on the same page. Because if we're not, then we can be great friends and still do these things in terms of hanging out and going to lunch and yada, 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 because they're fun. But ultimately, you know, we may not be on the same wavelength in terms of relationship, which is perfectly fine. Because I think that's what dating is. And I'm excited because this is probably the first time in my adult life where I've done it right in terms of the intention behind actually meeting and not being pen pals. That's what I call, you know, we have a tendency to be pen pals when you meet people on different mediums, you know, be it Facebook or IG, or, you know, Twitter. These are the more sanitary versions of the Christian mingles, but everything's a Christian mingle. Now you can meet anybody anywhere. When we meet people there, we tend to leave the conversation there. There are people that we've talked to for months and months and months and years and years and years in my case, and never physically met this person. You know what I'm saying? To even determine if they're a friend. It's like, we can't even really call ourselves friends. We're just people who have each other's numbers in our phone or our handles in our phone. And this is how we communicate, which is whack at 36 years old. So we did it right. We had those conversations, but we met in person. We've met in person a couple of times. We've continued to communicate. We've exchanged numbers because I know, you know, that's a thing. Like at the point where you can actually exchange a number, you're like, okay, this person, I can physically tie this person to an identity, a separate from a social media persona. We're getting somewhere. We did all those things, but we still haven't had the conversation about, hey, what do you think about kids? That's important to me. I want to have kids. So if you don't want to have kids, then maybe not. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are the conversations we need to have. And I've made all of these assumptions based on the fact this person is a few years older than I, that those things are not in the cards. And as a result, I've rendered this person a non-viable candidate for dating. And this is what happens when you kick your own ass when you're trying to help other people. This is why you are supposed to sweep around your own front door before you go helping other people. Take the plank out of your eye before you take the speck out of someone else's eye, because this is what happens. So now I am forced to take my own advice, to use my own medicine and have this conversation with this person to see if I'm being nuts, and making all these wild assumptions about who they are, who they aren't, without having a conversation. So because I've just read myself, I think this is a good place to stop. I hope you guys have a wonderful week. I'm really excited because two of my favorite people are going to be in town this weekend in the personage of my godmom, which is one of my mom's oldest and dearest friends, and her brother, my Uncle Sydney. So they're coming to visit. They're coming to see the manor. I'm really excited about that. I have a concert this Sunday. It's a gig. I'm really excited about that because my bank account could use an infusion. I'm adjusting to, you know, new purchases and all those types of things. And it's not bad. I only have a few months where things are going to be a little tight because obviously I am anticipating a merit increase at work. And so that will offset some of the poor choices that I've made, you know, spending money before you actually get it. So I think that'll balance out. And then I'm off all next week. And I'm super excited about that because I'm not going anywhere. I'll just be here at the manor, chilling out, catching up on a bunch of TV. That's what I'm going to do because there's a lot of things that I want to watch. There's a lot of things that I've recorded to see if I like them. There's a lot of things that, you know, shows that I like that I just haven't been, you know, watching. There are certain things I'm going to watch every week. Like, I'm going to watch Grey's Anatomy every week. No doubt about that. I am going to watch Insecure every week. But there are other things that I've recorded that I haven't gotten an opportunity to settle myself to sit down and watch. And then, of course, there's something new on Netflix every day. So with all that being said, I'll have plenty to do next week. I'm really looking forward to it. And it'll be Thanksgiving, which is still my favorite holiday. So I'm going to get together with family on Thursday. My god sister invited me over for Thanksgiving, which will be great because there's a baby there that excites me. And then I will spend Friday with my chosen family or my friends in a Friendsgiving, you know, my COVID circle plus one, because we have a new baby too. So there'll be a baby there. So I'm super excited. This baby will be a little less fascinating. He's very small, and so he's not fun yet, but we'll make it do what it do. So happy Thanksgiving. I'll talk to you guys next week. But happy early Thanksgiving for those who probably won't get an opportunity to listen to this podcast until after that. And enjoy next week before you start the Christmas trees and Christmas music. All right. I love y'all for real. Have an awesome Tuesday and an even awesomer week. Peace.